Have you ever wondered why God doesn't immediately whisk Christians away to heaven as soon as they're saved? Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and this is Christ in Prophecy. I'm joined, as always, by Nathan Jones, our Internet Evangelist. So, Nathan, if God wants us to be with Him in heaven, why not just take us out of this world as quickly as possible? Instead, I've noticed that most of us as believers tend to stick around. Why is that?
That's true. Well, there's a very simple and strategic reason. You and I are here on purpose at this time to advance God's mission on earth. This period of time we live in is called the Church Age. It's the time between Pentecost and the Rapture. And for nearly 2,000 years, God has been patiently building His church, calling out people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. So, while His return seems delayed, it's actually part of God's design.
We like to say the church age is God's strategic pause. The Apostle Peter explained, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." The promise he's speaking of is, of course, Jesus promised to return again and come for His church. And every day that Jesus delays His return is another day of grace for unbelievers and an opportunity for believers to share the gospel.
That's why understanding the times is so critical. We need to recognize where we are on God's prophetic timeline and the urgency of this hour, because when the church age ends, Jesus will appear in the clouds to rapture His church, and the tribulation will begin sometime after.
Stay with us today as we explore what God is doing right now and why this time period represents God's strategic pause in His prophetic timeline. To get clarity on the Bible's prophetic timeline, check out the resources available online, including our Lamplighter magazine and our new full-color prophecy chart. They're available at christinprophecy.org. We'll be right back.
Studying Bible prophecy is an important practice for Christians who want to mature in their faith. At Lamb and Lion, we've compiled the best resources to help you explore and explain Bible prophecy. Our online store is stocked with insightful books and charts from authors such as Dr. David Reagan, Tim Moore, Nathan Jones, and more. So why not add a good Christian book to your library today or order one for a friend? Understand Bible prophecy better when you visit christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. Like a fish swimming in water doesn't know he's wet, because of our limited perspective, we often don't recognize the times we live in. The church age is what Paul called a mystery, something hidden in ages past but now revealed. So let's begin by understanding what the church age is and why it represents a strategic pause in God's prophetic program.
All right, Nathan, so let's tackle that question right up front. What is the church age? We know that it is the period from Pentecost, in other words, what is covered in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came and filled the apostles there in the upper room, and they went out and began preaching, and it extends all the way through the rapture, when Jesus removes the church from the world, as described in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18. So again, it begins with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it ends with the removal of the church from the earth, and yet we don't believe the Holy Spirit is ever absent from the earth, because there would be no salvation of tribulation saints if the Holy Spirit wasn't still here to prick their hearts.
Absolutely. And it's a gap period in prophecy. The Lord has always had this program to bring the Jewish people to repentance and be representative of Him. By rejecting the Messiah, the Lord then switched to this mystery, this church age, which would allow not just Jew, but also Gentiles into God's kingdom, His spiritual, or it's also another word, ecclesiastical kingdom that He's building on this earth before He has His physical reign during the millennial kingdom. So this is this mystery period. You won't find the church in the Old Testament, but it is revealed as a mystery, as Paul called it in Ephesians 3 and Colossians 1.
You know, when you say gap, I think it's important that we understand when we speak of gap, we are again emphasizing the primacy of Israel and God's redemptive plan for them. And so when you go to Daniel chapter 9, Daniel talks about a period of weeks until the Messiah will be cut off. And then another 1 week period, we understand that to be 7 years, at which the end will occur, and we understand that to be the tribulation. So between the period of weeks until Messiah is cut off and the final week of years, that final 7 year period, there is a gap. We liken this to a prophet standing on a mountaintop and gazing out over another series of peaks. And he doesn't always understand, nor do we, that there are valleys in between those peaks. And yet, with hindsight, we can recognize that, yes, the Messiah did come. He was cut off. And now there's been a gap or a valley of a period of, well, let's face it, almost 2,000 years thus far until the rapture will occur. And so at some point, the rapture will occur. And Nathan, as you said, that will kick off a chain of events. The Antichrist will emerge. He will sign a contract with Israel, as is described right there in Daniel 9:27. And then that final week of years, that final seven-year period, the tribulation will be underway.
Yes, it's you kind of think of that God has harvests of souls. And each generation or each era, we could say, has that. The Old Testament saints, for one, are one generation. The church age saints will be another. The tribulation age saints that's coming, that's that 7 weeks called the tribulation that Tim was talking about here that's prophesied to bring Israel to repentance. They'll be during the millennial kingdom, the millennial age saints too. So in this time, though, that we are actually in, it's called the time of the Gentiles. So the Old Testament is the story of the Israelites, but Jesus prophesied Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until what? The times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, Luke 21:24. And that's a fulfillment of the prophecy in Daniel 2:44 through 45, that this time of Gentiles, in other words, when Israel lost the ability to rule itself and foreign nations ruled over it, up until Jesus returns to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, is a time of the Gentiles. And praise God, Tim, that the Lord is allowing salvation to come to the Gentiles during this church age.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important to understand that even the Jews didn't always understand that God had a plan for the Gentiles. One of the things that was most offensive to the Pharisees and the Sadducees was that Jesus would dare to interact with Gentiles. They resented when he said, this gospel is also for the Gentiles. Now, it's for the Jew first, as we understand. He came to minister to the Jews, but he said it's for the Gentiles as well. And they were outraged, and yet God, even in the Old Testament, had made provision for Gentiles. The Jewish people of Jesus' day and age, by and large, did not want to share their blessing. They did not want to be a conduit of blessing to the Gentiles, and yet that was the purpose of God. And yet, as we say, Israel is not set aside. And Paul calls this a great mystery. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 11, he says, beginning in verse 25, "For I do not want you, brethren," he's talking to the Jews, "to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." God still has a plan for the Jewish people, but for almost 2,000 years, the predominance of the church's influence has come within the Gentile nations.
We did an interview recently that you did with Baruch Korman, which was great in our prophecy chart series, and he explained about all Israel being saved. And some people misinterpret that to mean that every Jewish person will one day be saved. What he means is a remnant will be saved so that Israel as an entity, Israel as a people group, will come to salvation one day. And folks, we know that the church is predominantly Gentile, but one day, Jew and Gentile will be part of the body of faith together in Christ's kingdom.
Paul says that the church, which is predominantly Gentiles, should make it a goal to make the Jews jealous. He says in Romans 11:11, "I say it then, did they not stumble so as to fall, did they? Nay, it never be." He's talking about the Jews. They didn't stumble as to fall permanently, but by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. How do I make a Jewish person jealous? By telling them I have a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, revealed through the person of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. Yes, I know him as Jesus, but that was his Hebrew name. And so the church age is not God abandoning Israel. It's God making a way for Gentiles to be grafted into his family while giving Israel time to come to the end of themselves. And when the full number of Gentiles has been saved, the church will be raptured, and God will complete his plans for Israel. So coming up, we'll look at current events that reveal that this church age is indeed rapidly coming to a close.
Want to know what the Bible has to say about advancing technology, wars in Israel, natural disasters, rapid changes in society, and the end times? To get a trustworthy biblical perspective, keep listening to our radio program, watch Christ in Prophecy TV, and read the Lamplighter magazine. It's all available online at christinprophecy.org.
Well, welcome back to Christ and Prophecy Radio with Tim Moore and Nathan Jones. We're in that segment that's called What's Really Going On? Now, there are several current developments that indicate the church age is nearing its conclusion. These are signs given to us in Bible prophecy that Jesus told his people to watch out for. So, Tim, what are some of the signs that we're seeing, or maybe even a bunch of signs all at once?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing predominantly, we've always talked about the various categories of signs here at Lamb and Lion Ministries. We group them into six different categories: signs of nature, society, spiritual signs, world politics, technology, and of course, signs of Israel. But they are converging like never before. And yet, of all those signs, I said it already, the greatest sign is Israel. And so you can look back to 1948 when Israel came back into existence as a modern nation state, something that many Gentiles, many politicos throughout the centuries denied could ever possibly be. Why would the Jews want to go back to that God-forsaken land? They're scattered to the winds, and they're very happy in places like Germany and Poland and Russia. Well, we know how God orchestrated their desire to go back home. And then, Nathan, within my lifetime, 1967, the Jews came back in possession of their ancient capital city, Jerusalem. And even the chief rabbi of the Israeli Defense Force rushed to the Western Wall that day, blew a shofar, and said, "I proclaim to you the beginning of the Messianic Age." He knew that the times of the Gentiles were drawing to a close. This isn't a single-day closeout until the rapture, but he knew that all the pieces were in place. Israel is back in control of Jerusalem. I think those are the kinds of signs that demonstrate we are living in the season of the Lord's return.
Yeah, when you think about it, the Israel being back in the land again and the Jewish people returning to Israel, folks, you can't miss this. This is huge. It's a fulfillment of literally hundreds of Bible prophecies. Isaiah 11 says the Lord would regather the Jewish people a second time back into the land. We're seeing it. As Tim says, that generation, that genea, that time period, Luke 21 tells us when Israel's back in the land again will be that time period when the Lord returns, which means if the Lord's coming at the second coming, what comes 7 year plus before that? The rapture of the church. So we know that's even closer. So we know for sure that the church age is coming to an end because we have this convergence of end time signs.
And the sad thing is we have some in the church, Gentile believers, who have discounted God's promises to the Jews. Growing apostasy in the church,
yes,
and growing denial of God's promises to Israel that seems to be rampant right before our eyes today.
And Revelation 3 prophesied this, that the final phase of the church age, represented by the church of Laodicea, would be apathetic, would think it's got everything, but really it's spiritually weak and anemic. And folks, we're living in that time period where people believe that whatever truth they want to believe is what God believes, but we got to reverse it. It's what the Bible teaches is what we need to align our faith and understanding of the truth is. And so we're seeing so many churches, Tim, just jump off the doctrinally spiritual bandwagon, chasing after social justice issues and not the issues of the Bible. So absolutely, growing apostasy in the church was prophesied, and we're living in it now.
You know, one of the things that's most heartbreaking to me as someone who studies Bible prophecy for all of its richness and emphasizes the promises God made to Israel is the fact that in many churches, and dare I say, even in evangelical churches, there's a rise of replacement theology and even the latent anti-Semitism as people begin to dismiss the promises of God to Israel. Well, we want to emphasize how God is fulfilling his promises to Israel in the fact also that right now, Nathan, we are seeing an explosion of faith within the Jewish community. More people have become messianic believers, in other words, following after Jesus Christ, Yeshua, since 1967 than we estimate in the previous 19 centuries. That is glorious good news, and there are a number of people that came to faith following the Six-Day War. And we are getting reports every day that numbers of Jewish followers of Christ after the October 7th, 2023 attacks is exploding as well because, as we've said, the Jews are coming to the end of themselves even in this day and age.
Yeah, we're seeing a phenomenon here, a changing of the guard, rather like the British. I love when you watch the British troops in front of the palace switch. We're seeing a switch as the church fades and is about to be raptured. Israel will rise, and so they will return to God's focus in bringing salvation. And so this partial hardening that the Jewish people had spiritually, you're right, seems to be thawing. We're seeing so many Christians coming out of the Jewish communities. And praise the Lord, they will be raptured too, and they won't have to live through the tribulation. Well, folks, stick with us. We're going to come back shortly, and we're going to continue to dive into that mystery, which is the church age.
Imagine walking where Jesus walked. Next June, Lamb and Lion Ministries invites you on a life-changing pilgrimage to Israel. This isn't just another tour. It's a spiritual journey designed to deepen your faith as you explore both beloved biblical sites and hidden places most travelers never get to see. Each day includes powerful devotions and in-depth Bible teaching at locations tied to the life of Jesus. Come experience God's Word in the land where it unfolded. Call us today or visit us at christinprophecy.org/events to learn more and reserve your spot. You'll be glad you did.
Even as we see signs that the end is drawing near, we must not become resigned or complacent. Remember, God's strategic pause during the church age is our call to action. All right, Nathan, so we've already said it. We are left here on this earth as followers of Christ to be ambassadors of Christ in this day and age, in such a time as this. Now, people could lament how it's getting more difficult day by day, but let's face it, the early church had much more challenge than we do, even in staying alive, so we have both opportunity and responsibility to be Christ's eyes, ears, and feet and hands testifying to Him right now.
The world scratches its head and for years wonders, what is my purpose? Why do I exist? Folks, the Bible tells us that we exist because we are meant to worship the Lord forever, to bask in His glory. But if you know Jesus as your Savior, you have a purpose on this earth too. We are part of the church, the body of Christ, to reach the lost with the gospel. So that's the first purpose of the church, to save the lost. When the Lord, just before He ascended to heaven, in Matthew 28 and Acts 1, He gave us what's called the Great Commission to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel, to share the testimony of Jesus Christ to every nation, to build that church, not the building, but the people, to make a body of Christ, those saved, who will go on into eternity as the bride of Christ. So, folks, get out there, share the gospel, share your testimony, lead people to their Savior, Jesus Christ.
I've had a friend recently who pointed out that when we think about Jesus' admonition to do unto the least of these, it's quite possible He was referring specifically to the Jewish people, also in a greater sense to any of His children. But there is a special provision for those of us who would bless the Jewish people, the least of these. And I think that we receive a blessing when we do just that.
The third point is to prepare what's called the bride of Christ. You know, Tim, we're guys. We don't like to compare ourselves to brides, but the Bible compares when you marry your wife, you know, she comes to you pure and holy, and that's what the Lord's doing. When you're saved, you are justified, but once saved, you live a life of sanctification. In other words, we become more Christ-like, become more spiritually mature. We engage in spiritual growth, and we develop a more Christ-like character. So during this time, to summarize that, is just live holy lives. That's what the Lord wishes the church to do while we wait for His return.
Well, Nathan, that brings us to the next question. What should we do, or perhaps how now should we live, as Francis Schaeffer would have asked? And we have emphasized here at Lamb and Lion Ministries that we have three urgent callings. The first is just that, urgent evangelism, sharing the gospel while there is still time. John 4:35 says, "The fields are white with harvest, and while we are here, we need to be about the Lord's work, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ." The second is holy living. We need to be living as ambassadors of Christ, using our gifts and resources, not being weighed down by the world, but making sure that we are purified, just as 1 John 3 talks about. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself. So we need to live holy lives, knowing that Jesus could come at any moment. And then finally, we need to watch for His return, discerning the signs of the times, yes, but being on the alert, as Matthew 24:42 says, because we do not know which day the Lord is coming, and we need to be ready at all times.
I love Jesus' great message in Luke 21, verses 34 through 36, where He gives five things that we should be doing while we're waiting. He says, stop sinning. If you're saved, you should not be engaging in sin anymore. We're to be watchful, to look for the return of Christ. We're commanded to do so. We need to pray to the Lord to escape this evil time. Number four, we're also to be counted worthy. How is one counted worthy before the Lord? By being saved, by giving your life to Jesus Christ. And five, to prepare to stand before Jesus Christ. Tim, we hear so often that churches engage in what's our best life now, or how to have a better marriage or a better family or a better career or make more money. And yet the Lord commands us repeatedly to look up and be watchful.
You know, I think we need to understand that as Peter said in 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9, the Lord is not slow about his coming. He is patient, and even his delay is a manifestation of his desire for none to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And as eager as I am for Jesus to come, I pray every day, Maranatha, or in my Kentucky shorthand, Godspeed. Godspeed the return of your son. I am certainly glad he has not come on my timing. Otherwise, he would already be here. And some who are listening to us today perhaps would not have been included in the church that will be raptured. And so God's delay is a manifestation of his timing, and it proves that his timeline is not our timeline. His delay is an act of mercy because he desires all to come to repentance, and the church age will allow for every last possible soul to be added to the church before the rapture occurs, because obviously the opportunity for easy salvation ends at that point. The people who live through the tribulation will be hunted down. Today, we have the opportunity not only to share the gospel, but to come to salvation in Christ. We hope everyone listening today has done just that.
Absolutely. The church age is God's gift of grace, a strategic pause allowing time for both Jews and Gentiles to come to faith in Jesus Christ. But all the signs indicate that this age is rapidly drawing to a close. The fullness of the Gentiles is nearly complete. Soon, and very soon, Jesus will appear in the clouds, and we who are his will be caught up, that's raptured up, to meet him in the air. And until then, we have work to do. Well, stay with us. Tim's going to come back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement. And again, folks, we'd like you to visit our website at christinprophecy.org. We have a wealth of information to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we've been a blessing to you, please click that donate button.
This world is the source of endless distractions and sinful enticements that assault our devotion to Christ. Scrolling through social media rarely improves your walk with the Lord, but knowing Bible prophecy can help you remember what endures. Here at Christ in Prophecy, we want everyone to know that Jesus is coming back, and he doesn't want his people to be unprepared. So to stay up to date about unfolding events, get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, and dig deeper into God's prophetic word, check out our free Lamplighter magazine. You can easily sign up to have Lamplighter magazine delivered directly to your email inbox when you go to christinprophecy.org. Sign up today.
Well, the signs of Jesus soon coming are everywhere for those with eyes to see. The church age is drawing to a close. We are living in the last days of the last days. Israel has been restored. Jerusalem is back in Jewish hands. The Jewish people are beginning to respond to the gospel in increasing numbers, and the convergence of prophetic signs is undeniable. Yet, God is still waiting. He is waiting to tell his son, go and get your bride. Why? Because he is patient. He's holding back his judgment, giving people time to respond to the gospel because he loves the world so much. And when I say that, he doesn't love the world in a general sense. He loves every man, woman, boy, and girl on the earth, even those who are his enemies because they are trapped in sin. But God's patience will not last forever. The fullness of the Gentiles is almost complete. Soon the trumpet will sound, and those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ will be caught up, snatched away, raptured to heaven. Then the tribulation will begin shortly thereafter with 7 years of unimaginable judgment upon those who have refused to believe in Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, are you ready? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted his sacrifice on the cross for your sins? If not, then the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You may not get another opportunity to put your trust in Jesus Christ. You're not promised another day or even another hour. If you're driving down the road listening to this radio broadcast, you may not reach your destination. Don't put this decision off. Don't assume you'll have another chance. The church age is ending. The door of grace will soon close. And for those of us who know the Lord, we need to live with urgency. We need to be about our Father's business. Every day that Jesus delays is another day to share the gospel, another day to make disciples, another day to live for his glory and proclaim His return. The signs are clear. The time is short. Jesus is coming soon. Until that glorious day, we echo the words of the Apostle John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Godspeed.